So, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. For any emergency or priority traffic, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. All right, with nothing heard, let's the games begin. All right, so the technical net is run weekly, and it is run on 140-6955, the repeater, Twitter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club in Alpine, New Jersey. All stations are welcome to participate, irrespective of whether or not you are a member of FARA, as long as you have privileges to operate in the amateur radio 2-meter band. The purpose of the net is to discuss amateur radio, telecommunications, computers, electronics, things in our society that depend on those things, which is pretty much you can talk about anything you want. Tonight, reading from my home shack that I'm operating under portable power, just for the fun of it. And so we'll see how well that works until the radio comes unglued. I'm making a point of using high power. So I'm running 50 watts into an omni-vertical on my home here in Bergen Field, and as I said, I'm operating high power, which should be something different. I have standby radio should that fail. Alrighty, so the way we check into this net is a little different than others. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we give an indication of whether or not we're going to have a question, a comment, both a question and a comment, you say both, or none of the above. We'd like you to check in even if you don't have a question or a comment, as this helps us focus the net a little bit, and also you might find yourself as an impromptu resource for the discussion. Let's see. I'm kind of curious today, what is in your basic go kit? That is going to be my question. Or your more basic go kits, you know, like an HT level go kit and maybe a mobile rig level go kit, something like that for VHF or UHF. I'm just kind of curious what you might have. And what else is in there besides radios? But I'd like to know what kind of radio you use and things like that, and antennas and other accoutrements you have in your go kit. I'm just kind of curious. That's going to be my question for tonight. So I thought I'd throw that out there now. So with that in mind, let's start with check-ins from stations whose call signs begin with the letter A for Alpha. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether or not you have a question, a comment, both or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
AB2XT.
Good evening, John, AB2XT. Do you have a question or a comment for the net?
No, just listening tonight. Can you hear me?
You dropped out the very end of that when you asked if you could hear me. Yeah, you're a little light, but you're there.
Okay, thanks.
I think you might be unkeying before you're done talking. I think that's another thing, so you got to be careful about that. Alrighty, any other observations? John, just be aware that there were some questions regarding the use of that antenna modeling software that came up last week while you were gone. So you might have that come back again. You might want to boot your program. It was a different antenna that came up, and I can go through that question. It was from Ben last week, so I do recall it. So anyway, so just keep that in mind. Alrighty. So any stations whose call signs begin with November, please call K2BAR. Right, no November stations. How about those ever popular whiskey stations?
This is W2JEK with a comment.
Good evening, Donald. I have you noted for a comment. Anybody else with a whiskey?
WE2R, no questions. questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie. Good to hear you as well. Saw your buddy Mr. Armbruster on Sunday, by the way. And let's see, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, Charlie Alpha. My name's Tom, over.
Hi, Tom. Tom, will you have questions or comments for the net?
This is so for you talking about. I was wondering about that.
What were you wondering about?
The radio software for antennas.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back to that later. Good. All right, any other whiskeys? Okay, let's go to the ever-popular kilos. Let's try with anybody whose call signs begin with the kilo, followed immediately by the number 2. Wowie. All right, any other kilos? Go ahead.
KC2, VRY, over.
We got 2 stations that time. On the second drive, it was Jim, KC2VRY, who prevailed. Jim, do you have any questions or comments on it?
None of the above. Back tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Who is the station to double with Jim?
Kilo Bravo 3, Papa Quebec Papa. Good evening, Gordon. Nothing for the net, just out here listening.
Very good. Good to hear you. Good to hear you, Harry. TV3BQP. BQP, pardon me. W2TTT. Alright, I'll probably get to BAR, that too. Alrighty. Nice to hear you. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos? Any other stations for the net?
WHCAI. Just heard of another thing.
What is that, Mr. Tom?
Go Kid Antennas. I'd like to discuss those.
Yeah, we'll put that into the Go Kid conversation. That's good. Alrighty. So, we've got a couple of things. I'm going to hold off on going to the antenna question because A, I don't know if John's ready for it, and B, the person who raised the question last week, Mr. Ben, is not yet here, and he often checks in a little late, so I'm going to hold off on that topic. So let's go right to W2JEK's comment from K2BAR. Go ahead, Don.
K2BAR and the W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Today I was on the phone with the ARRL web, and we put the DE test session dates for this fall season on the website, and also gave it to Phil Barber for the Barra calendar. And those dates of the test session, the first one will be September 17th. It's a Friday with 7 p.m. at the high school. Second one is October 9th at 8 a.m. in the morning. That's the morning of the ham fest. And the third one is November 19th at 7 p.m. That's also a Friday on the at the high school. That's a 7 p.m. that one. So that was just checked now, and they have them up on the the September one is up on the website. I haven't scrolled down through the others yet. But that's where it's at right now. So that's all I have. Back to net, W2JEK.
Alrighty, Don, very fine. That works. It works very well. Okay. Let's see. Are there any other announcements or comments people would like to make? Any follow-up for Mr. Don's question or announcement? Alrighty. So, I guess my question is, you know, what do you have in your go-kit? What do you think should be in your go-kit? And let's start with radios and antennas. This is a go kit. This is not a steroidal thing like some of us have produced over various times. This is a quickie, lightweight go kit, something that, you know, is what I'll call 0 to 5 watts or up to 50 watts. You know, two categories. What I'll call a light and a medium. I'm just kind of curious what that might include for you guys. So, who would like to go first? KTBR.
WA2CAI, if I may.
Well, right ahead, Mr. Tom.
Well, I've got a 50-watt Motorola Dashman Mobile, a CM300 32-channel synthesized, and I've got the ECOM frequencies all programmed into it. So number-by-number basis, I can QSY to any number channel you guys can throw at me.
Okay, and what's your current antenna?
Right now it's the quarter wave magnetic mount. But I'm in the process of building a J-pole for it. Half-wave J-pole. So I won't be as dependent on a ground plane. Also, they're a lot broader than the quarter wave whip.
Okay, would this be a folding one or a rigid one?
Folding, made out of twin leads, one I can coil.
Okay, very fine. Very fine. Alrighty. How about anybody else? Don, go right ahead.
I don't have a go kit per se, but I do know when the time comes I would have certain things. First of all, the radio I have is the handy talkie I'm using now. It's a 5-watt 2-meter handy talkie. I have a cigarette lighter adapter that I can use in the car or with a power supply that has a cigarette lighter type receptacle on it. And I also have a power supply that I'm using now that has a cigarette lighter receptacle on it. So that would probably go with me, along with I have a battery pack that uses AA cells. It takes 6 AA cells for this radio. And I would do that. Sometimes when I'm doing one of these walk-a-time things like the River Edge run, I take that with me too in case the battery I'm using goes out, which it has. And that way I'm not beholden to any this one battery that's here. I would probably want to take an extension cord with me to get at a an outlet for the power supply, and probably have to take a light of some kind with me. If I was going to be operating at some kind of a place that didn't have any lighting. And for antennas, I have in the car a quarter wave magnet. And I also have a 5/8 magnet down the cellar, which I originally was my first 2-meter antenna, but I found it was a nuisance because every time I went to put the car in the garage, I'd have to take the antenna off. And likewise, when I was at work, I didn't want to leave that thing sitting on top of the car in the area where I was parked. So that's my, basically that's what I'd be taking with me back to that W2JK.
Very good. Anybody else? Okay, let me try something different. Given the equipment you have, what would you bring? What are you missing in order to make an effective go kit, and or making effective use of that radio? Let's see. WE2R. What do you have that you could grab and go if you needed to cobble something together? And what are you missing to make that work?
Sorry, I picked up the wrong mic. I don't really have a go kit. I'm chagrined to say. But I could grab my HT with a AA pack, which I always have AA packs for my radios. Figuring you could always get pick up some batteries, and I have a J-pole that's currently taped to a fiberglass rod in the bedroom. Quite portable. Ed Gordon, this is W-E-2-1.
Very good. Just out of curiosity, when you run your HT off of AA's, does it run at reduced power, or is it a full-size AA pack? Or, alkaline pack?
Yeah, I believe the power is reduced. I can't tell you exactly what it is right now, but the standard battery is a higher voltage.
Okay, and is there coax, for your antenna to your radio at a reasonable length?
Yeah, coax, and then it's screws into the coax, and then there's an SMA. Is it an SMA connector for the antenna?
It very well could be, SMA or BNC, so very good. Super, anything else?
No. Lacking something to put it all into, though. Have to work that out.
Okay, very good. No problem. That's okay. That's a start. Yeah, we're getting up to change season, so I'm kind of figuring that, people need to just kind of wrap their brains around this stuff. What could you make use of that would make you effective? And get you thinking about what the gaps are. All right, very good. John, AB2XT, what's your story? John, now, after holding it. I think you said you're having troubles. Okay, we'll move on, no problem. How about KC2BRY? Mr. Jim?
I would consider having a generator for a go-kit. Easy enough to transport a can of gasoline and keep you going for quite a while. That would be what I would think of. Over.
Okay, what about your radio? Radio and antenna, what would you use for that?
I have my Yaesu 750 mobile, which is 50 watts, and I could run that off my truck or off the power pack, off a generator, or any number of ways, and it's easy enough to transport, and that's what I would have. Over.
Okay. Let's say you need something lighter. What would you do with your HT? What do you have available in the way of an HT, and how would you deck that out to, get it to an antenna and stable power, et cetera?
My HT, I have an SMA adapter that goes to field 259, and I run it off a mobile antenna off the truck, and I hit the repeater pretty well with that. And that's what if I had to use that. Matter of fact, I use that every day when I go to work. I take the HT with me in the truck. Over.
Okay. And do you have a way to put power into the radio while not necessarily in the truck? Or do you have an external battery, some sort of extra battery source?
That I don't have. It's probably a good idea to make something up for that. Either that or take the charger and run that off the generator if I had to. Over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all heavy-handed to drive an HT, but sure. Absolutely. All right, very good. Harry, KB3PQP, PQP, W2TTT, PQBAR, your story.
Yeah, I started making the go-kit about 3 years ago. I never really finished it. Needless to say, I have a plethora of different Motorola handy talkies, and I usually condition them once, so I keep them pretty much up to date. and I have like six batteries. So, I mean, I would be good for probably 24 hours of transmitting on the either the HD600s or the MP1000. But my Go Kit was going to include an ICOM 2000H that I picked up at the Hamfest up in Split Rock last year. And originally it was going to be a commercial radio, and then I realized I wanted something with a VFO in it. Just in case it needed to go off one of the frequencies, you know, to go to something weird, I'd have the ability for it. And I have a nice collection of gel cells. What the heck are they? They're 12 volt, I think 7 ampere hour. And I was actually going to hook all of them up, not quite in parallel, but I have this little charging circuit I designed to keep them going. And actually, the charger is from Harbor Freight. It's one of those $7 flow chargers. So that was my niche, and I was going to try to build this thing into a nice little aluminum case with a handle on it, so that I could carry it around. The antenna I do have, and that's a roll-up J-pole, you know, made out of. It's actually made out of 400 ohm ladder line. I made one out of twin leads, they work pretty good, but the 400 ohm ladder line takes a little more power. Let's see, what else? I don't want to try this up too long. But one day I will finish building that portable radio. The other thing that I have, which I was thinking of making part of my Go Kit, is one of those jump start units. They're rather nice. They have a hefty battery, a 48 ampere hour battery inside them. It's got its own built-in charger, so if it does get low, you could always plug it in if there's power available. And it has a cigarette lighter plug on the front of it, which I thought was kind of nice. So if you needed to charge a, you know, a handy bogey or run anything that needs 12 volts, you got power. And then also you have the large alligator clips that come off of it. So, but I've never actually finished anything. That's one thing my wife says to me, I never finish anything. So, but if I needed to in an emergency, I could swap something together. There goes the timeout timer. I could slap something together and be on the air in minutes.
Okay, very good. Well, that sounds like a good plan. Alrighty. Anybody else listening to the net want to chime in who hasn't checked in yet?
J.E.K. with a comment.
Go ahead, Don.
And one thing I mentioned, I had MagMount antennas, a quarter wave and a 5/8. One thing I have in my collection is a steel cookie sheet. I figure that would support, if I could put that as a ground plane where I don't have one any other way. That's one thing I'd be carrying along too. Back to that.
That's marvelous. In fact, I drilled one out. Nancy had one that had got, the Teflon had kind of become yucky. And so I absconded with it from the recycling and drilled a hole in it for an NMO mount. I liked it so much, especially particularly on 220 and 440, that I recently had the opportunity of getting bigger ones, slightly bigger ones, heater trays. They're shallow heater trays, but they're heater trays nonetheless. And they were being discarded, and they're ferrous material or stainless steel. Some of them have been overheated and scorched on one side, so, you know, no big deal, but there's no food residue. So I took them, and I'm going to use them in a similar mode. And they're a little bit bigger, so I think they'll work better on 2 meters. So, yeah, good for you. Excellent. Excellent thought. Anybody else? Alrighty. Let me do two things here. One is I'm going to tell you what mine is, and then I'll ask another question about what else should go in the Go Kit. So while you're listening to me drone on a little bit, think about what other things you need. Some people make some suggestions. a handy talkie or two, 12-volt adapters, cigarette lighter plugs, antenna adapters, magnetic antennas, or tape poles, either or. And I also have the ability to plug them into 12-volt, 12-ampere-hour or 7-ampere-hour so lead acid batteries, about half the size of a brick, and they're pretty good for running radios. I actually have a couple of different configurations. I have three 12-volt, 12-ampere-hour ones, one 12-volt, 7-ampere-hour one, which I could use for an HT only. And then I have another pair of 12-ampere-hour 12-volt ones that are parallel together, and they form one pack. So that's kind of neat, too. It's a little heavier, but, you know, if I need to run an HT or a mobile rig, it's fine. All the power interconnections are on Anderson Power Poles. I was kind of surprised I didn't hear more about that. And that's something I highly recommend you do. Make everything 12 volts on an Anderson Power Pole. I've made adapters as well. So I've got cigarette lighter plugs that have pigtails to Anderson Power Poles. I have, you know, jumper cables that are Anderson Power Poles to go from a device that might be too short or to a battery that doesn't have enough cable to get to, let's say, a power strip before we drop it. I use rig runners. There is a disadvantage to running a rig runner, and that is that there's a little bit of a voltage drop, but the advantage is that you're fused and you're protected and stuff like that, so that's also good. My other radios are, I have several 10-meter FM 2-watt radios, or 45-watt radios, in case they be. I also have some 220 and 440 radios of various forms, either Olympcos or ICOMs, that I use. And again, everything's with Anderson Power Poles, and everything, you know, has adequate power, cable length, etc. I also have a 38-ampere-hour steel lead acid, which I can use as well. It's just a lunchbox kind of, dry box kind of configuration, and that's kind of useful as well. I got a couple of J-poles. My next task is to build some twin lead J-poles that are tested inside PVC, and then make some PVC sections with connectors that I can just squish together and hang the J-pole inside it to make it rigid, rather than just hanging it against the wall or whatever, or stand it up, if you will, but make it so that it's really ultra-compact. So maybe nothing more than a foot or so long. So anyway, that's kind of my thought on antennas and stuff like that. Anything above that, like the packet or with HF or 100-watt stuff, things like that, or D-Star, heavy-duty D-Star type stuff, it's a whole other matter. We'll discuss that later. If we have time, you know, packet, D-Star, HF, all that stuff. Let's see what else we can do. Alrighty. So what else did you show in your go kit? So I'm just kind of curious about that. So why don't we just go in that roster order, AB2XT. John?
You hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, what I put in my go kit, I just used. I have the very simple thing. I have a dipole made out of a pair of rabbit ears, which, you know, I have a little marking where 2 meters is. That can fold up, and I open it up and, you know, open it to the marking. The other thing I have is a 8-battery Radio Shack holder for double A's, which is the thing that just pulled me out of the swamp. I forgot to charge my battery, of course, on my HT, and so I have a pack of a bunch of 20 double A's, which I loaded into this eight holder, and a couple of clip leads, and it got me back running with the HT. So that's my go kit for now.
That is delightful. How innovative. Rabbit ears marked for the right length, and touch coax.
box and good to go. And I like your battery style, too. That's very nice. Kind of a variation of what Charlie does. Very good. Alrighty. Now, what else would we put in our go kits? What else would you need? Let's say it's a 24-hour event or 30s or a 72-hour event. But those are the two parameters which I'm going to challenge you with. What would you put in for a 24? What would you put in for a 72? Who wants to go first?
KC2VRY.
Jim, a second. Jim, who was the other station?
V2JEK.
Okay, very good. All right, Jim first.
Yeah, if we want to go for an extended operation, I would think we need a tent, maybe a table and chairs, be out of the weather. I don't know, you know, you're going to be on a hot sunshine, or is it going to be raining out? I would think you need that, no? Over.
You might be in a building as well and not need any of that, but you might need some of that if you're in the building. Very good. Continue.
Also, another thing that I keep handy, event I got to throw a tent in the truck, I keep 4 gallons of water and some line, because if you're out in a storm and it's windy, the tent's going to blow over on you. Just tie a clove hitch around the legs of your tent to a gallon of water, and the wind won't blow it over. Back to that.
Maybe. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Mr. Don.
W2JEK here. Yeah, well, one thing I think, if you're going to be out for an extended, are you taking any medications, blood pressure or whatever you might be taking, you want to have that along. And Jim mentioned water, but I think something to drink, either cans of soda or bottles of water or whatever might be in order. You don't know what kind of condition you're going to find yourself in. That's a plus. And of course, some kind of food of some kind. Remember once I was in the National Guard, they had me out as a road guard, and they forgot to feed me. Everybody else went to the chow on, but I was out in the boondocks as a road guard. Well, I happen to have a can of beans with me, Campbell's pork and beans. Well, that tastes pretty damn good. But, yeah, stuff like that is your own personal needs. Of course, we always had toilet paper in one of our ammunition pouches. Stuff like that you may be called upon to use, too, the personal stuff like that. And, one thing I have is when I started with the QRP, they were giving a bonus for people who were operating on battery power. I got a couple of those four D cell holders. The thing holds 4 D cells, so I have 8 D cells there's a file card box, and the switch on it, and the fuse, and the terminals on the outside of the file cabinet box. So this gives me about 12 volts. Usually you can get a 12 volt battery, 12 volt, you get close to 12 volts out of the thing. And the D cell, alkaline D cells, it lasts quite a while on it with a handy talkie. So that might be another alternative to power. It's just something common. And one of the big problems with most of these rechargeable batteries, especially if you're using the little wall cube, wall-wart type charger, is they take forever and a day to recharge one of those things. One other thought that Steve Mendelson mentioned one time is get an inverter and use that on your 12 volts, so that you can have 115 volt, 117 volt AC out of an inverter. And a small one, I have one of, I think, of 150 watts or so. That might come in handy, too. Back to that, WTJK.
That's very good. I've been using the CLR acids in lieu of the D cells because I can slow charge it in a hurry. Wouldn't want to do that as a standard practice, but I can just connect it across a car battery if I need to, you know, get more power into it to give it a second life in an hour or two. I've got, you know, just about a full charge. steady, but it does work. Alrighty. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? What else would you add to your go kit?
KB3BQP.
Harry.
It's something I actually keep in the car, and I keep them in my work truck. Those little breakfast bars, they're good for like 3 years. They don't go bad. I personally like the Kellogg's ones, but, you know, anybody's brand is fine. They have a little bit of sugar in them, so, you know, if you need that little extra energy burst. And they are fairly nutritious if you actually look at them. And the other thing is, everybody said a couple of bottles of, you know, water. A couple of those 500 milliliter bottles works great.
Absolutely, a demiliter of water is a good thing. Absolutely, I'm partial to the, you know, the big quart or gallon jugs, but whatever. I try not to let those sit in the car very long, though. They get nasty after a while, and the seals get corrupted. So what I try to do is I try to find a reason to change out the water first of the month. What I normally do is I carry two or four, depending on what's going on, Nalgene bottles, quart Nalgene bottles, and I just make a habit of changing them out every scout trip. That's my protocol, and that's at least monthly, if not more often. That kind of works for me. I keep two loose in the car and then two more on my tack harness. So that's what I do, but that's a little much. And I modified my tack harness to accommodate water bladder pouches from outdoor research. I use the insulated pouches because I'm lucky enough to get them cold, that's great. And if it's cold out, it keeps them from freezing. That's the other side of the equation. Right, what else do people carry in their go kits?
Hey, real quick, I had a quick question for you before I forget it. Let me see if I got it. Okay, I had it. You said that you had two jail cells paralleled. I did that, and I had a problem. They killed each other. Without any load on them at all, they actually killed each other. So, I was going to ask you, how did you parallel them? I'm dying to know. I learned, you know, to put diodes in after. But I'm wondering if you use diodes or do you just have them paralleled? And these were actually the same brand battery. They were actually serial numbers really close to each other. So, a comment from you on that. KB3BQP.
Well, the first part of the comment is that they weren't gel cells. They were sealed with acids.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, well, I say gel cells, but it's like a generic term. Yeah, these were sealed lead acids. They were, they were made by a company called B&B. And they actually killed each other. I had them plugged into each other on the shelf, and it wasn't even a month. And I went over and checked the voltage, and there was like 3 volts coming out of them. And these were brand new. They weren't, you know, I mean, I charged them, you know, plugged them together and said, okay, I got 12 volts at 20 amps sitting over there if I ever need it. And it wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the theory of what you're talking about, but I didn't think sealed with acids would do that. Well, these two are sitting here. I'm running on them right now. So I don't know what to tell you. I think part of the key is to charge them using the same circuitry that you use to discharge and interconnect them. I think that might be part of the magic.
Yeah, okay, very good. I came up with a little diode block that I use. It's called a three-phase bridge rectifier. And what it does is it takes, you know, three-phase AC voltage and turns it into a DC bus. Just happens to have the right number of diodes in it to make a great little charging circuit for three gel cells. And actually, I have a friend out in Pennsylvania who has three identical gel cells hooked up to this, charger in one side and radio out the other side, and every so often he just turns the charger off and runs the batteries for a while and then turns the charger back on. And he's actually using one of those little flow chargers also from Harbor Freight. I tell you, that little flow charger is it's a dream. It's great for jail cells. It really works nice. Okay, I'm done with my comments. Let somebody else talk for a bit. KB3DQB.
N2OEL.
N2OEL. Welcome aboard, Noel.
I worked late. I just got out. What's the topic for discussion today?
Well, the topic of discussion is what you would put in what I call a light or medium weight go kit, meaning an HT or 50 watt mobile kind of go kit. What would you put in there? What radio do you use? How do you power it? Antenna? All that mishigas.
Okay. If you remember, I have some 33 amp gel fills that are 12 volts nominal, and they're not the same, and they don't sag much when you throw a radio on them, but some of my radios are not happy with low voltage. And at one of the Fairlawn auctions, for $8, I bought this neat little gadget that takes anything from 20 to 45 volts, something like that, 50 volts. I know it's made for boats, and it's made for 24 or 36 volt marine systems, and it turns it into 13.8. So by taking two of my batteries and putting them in series, I happen to have a 24 volt charger off of one of my wheelchairs. Bingo. I got basically 24 volts at 33 amp hours. I got about 92% efficiency. I should have the equivalent, if I only discharge halfway, I have at least several hours of runtime for my radio, which draw about 9.5 amps full blast. I also carry something interesting. Since I discovered that alkaline batteries just sitting there go dead, and lithium don't, I have, believe it or not, lithium AA's and AAA's for my flashlights.
That's interesting. Lithium. I had some... Oh, you know, they weren't lithiums. They were, they called digital camera batteries, designed for long life, et cetera. And I had them in my pack for about 2 years. Much to my chagrin, they were dead as a doornail when I went to use them. So that was just a lesson in battery cycling, as opposed to battery recycling. Pretty good. That was useful. Anybody else?
N2JK.
And Don.
You know, one thing, if you're going to, you may want to have paper and pencil with you, something like that. And Noel mentioned flashlight. That's another good item to have. And I usually have a Leatherman tool with me, or a pocket knife or something with it in that ilk. And my car has tools in it, and, you know, at home here, of course, they have tools. They want to think of a few tools to throw in there. I know my father used to work in the radio business, and he always had a pair of, he had a screwdriver with one of those nesting things where he had about four screwdrivers nesting in it, had a large one, and then he had a three small ones inside. That was one, the small one was about the size of an eyeglass screw, and he had a pair of long nose pliers and the diagonal cutters, so that he was pretty well prepared for what he might have to deal with. And so depending on, you know, what your situation is, and think about it too, that keeping your car, your gasoline tank and your car at a reasonable amount, not that you're on fumes all the time. You can get around with your car, and if there's a monstrous power failure, the gas stations aren't going to be able to do you any good, so you want to be able to keep your car running. Back to that, W2JK.
Sure, great idea. That harkens back to Jim's assertion that he would use either a generator or a car. So, yeah. Absolutely. Paper and pencil is good. Small tools, all good. Yeah, absolutely.
kind of curious what other people are thinking at this point. Anything else? Alrighty. Going back to the food issue, food and drink, very important. Food, drink, and toilet paper. Personal meds, all very, very important. Don't assume anyone's going to be able to provision you. If you don't arrive with it, you can't consume it. That's generally the watchword. So those are good things to consider. Let's see, what else do we have in the equation? How about any credentials? If you need access credentials or certifications or things like that, that might be another good thing to have on your person. Someone mentioned lighting. Flashlight's good. What I've decided to do, in addition to a couple of these damnable LED flashlights, I've done a couple of things. I found a little tiny, well, not tiny, but maybe this size, a little bigger than my fist, a lantern that looks like a fluorescent bulb. It's like one of those battery-operated fluorescent lanterns, except the tube is just an optically conductive tube against a reflector, and what's lighting it are some bright LEDs, and the thing will run for hundreds and hundreds of hours. It uses D cells. It's the only thing I own that uses D cells, but it's marvelous. Another one uses double A's or triple A's. I bought these at Harbor Freight, where some of these LED spots or bar lights, where they'll have, you know, maybe four pods of five LED super bright LEDs. You can steer individually. That's one. Another one is one that has, I think, about, I want to say it's 10 LEDs, two-way LEDs in a linear bar that's adjustable. And one of them uses double A's, one uses triple A's, and has a high and a low setting. Again, they'll run pretty long as you see fit. So that's another thing to consider. You want your lighting to be autonomous from your other operations. So you want to have backup things. Another thing that's useful is a headlamp. Headlamps are good as well. That way the light's focused to where you need it to be, which is also a good idea. Alrighty. Anything else on the subject of go kits, light and medium power go kits?
JC2VRY.
Mr. Jim, go right ahead.
Mentioning lighting, I have drop light to work on the car. It's a fluorescent tube in a cage to protect it. It runs on 12 volts, has a cigarette lighter adapter on it, and two leads that you can plug it right to your power supply. It runs on 12 volts. It's good to, if you had to hang up a light inside a tent while you were operating outside or something like that. And they're available almost any auto supply store or Kmart or any of those places. Back to that.
Yeah, it sounds great. Actually, along that same line, I bought the solar power charging kit, the one that's normally $150 from Harbor Freight. Comes with three glass panels, about 4 feet high, and about 16 inches wide, maybe a little less. So there's three of them for 45 watts. At full light, and I did verify that they do work. I heard that the charge controllers are less than wonderful, but I did use them, and it was fine. Although people are recommending better ones. And the other thing I did notice was that they came with two 5-watt fluorescent, compact fluorescent bulbs in Edison sockets that have a cord. It's about 15 feet long a piece or 12 feet long a piece, and you just plug it right in front of the charge controller or run the lights from your battery that you've been charging all day from your solar panel. So it's kind of neat. It does work. Something to think about as well. But, you know, compact fluorescents, such as the one you talked about, I'm talking about, where LED lighting are very effective ways to light up the area and our workspace. So all is good in that way. Anybody else?
82 AMI, Tony.
Tony, go right ahead. Good evening.
Listening, I just want to contribute a couple items that I would consider. That is, I carry in the glove compartment of my car a flashlight that you shake. You shake the flashlight, and it charges a battery or a capacitor or something inside, and it's good for a good length of time. When I carried a regular flashlight in the glove compartment of my car, invariably the batteries would be dead before I'd get a chance to use it. They also have crank flashlights where you can squeeze them and they will charge the battery. Charge the flashlight, it's not a battery, I don't think it's a capacitive storage device of some type. And they last for a reasonable length of time. So they're independent of any battery source being stored in the flashlight itself. So either a squeeze type or a shake type flashlight might be an item to consider for emergency use. And the other thing, a little bit wild, what I've been doing is I've converted a couple of the computer power supplies, little switcher power supplies that you have in your computers. I find the 300 watt models are probably the better ones. And they're very lightweight, and you can attach them with the 110 volt plug, of course. And you can bring the terminals out, or you can just bring a cable out with some power poles on it. And you can carry these little power supplies with ease rather than carrying Astron power supply to a shelter someplace. So, also, if you don't want to work on a computer power supply, there are lots of little switches available that are less expensive than the Astrons or the MFJs. Go to the internet, you can find switches that will handle a good share of amps and lightweight and easy to move around. So, two items that I would mention. Back to
net. Great idea. So recycling a dead power supply or a good power supply from an otherwise outmoded computer. Great. I like it. I'm wondering if anyone's actually embedded, because I did this years ago. I took a Kenwood mobile rig is about the size of a DR-135, a Linco radio, or some of the popular icons in Yaesu's, about the same width. And I put them into a drive bay, a 5 1/4 inch drive bay. and that worked out really, really well. And I put a dummy panel above the radio to provide cooling space. And I had two radios in there. I think, if I remember right, they were TM-221s, they were 221s. TM-221 and maybe a 421 or a 321, 220 rig, I can't remember. But basically, they're nice little radios. And I may have taken the skin off of the radio and in order to make it fit in a 5-inch drive bay. But it did fit in a U-shaped drive bay. I bolted it in. I used matched the screw holes, reused the screws from the original skin. So the skin from the top was missing. The sides and the bottom were replaced by the drive bay, and I had no RFI problems, but I kept the radio nice and cool, so can't complain. But it was in a full-size 5-inch drive bay, and the radio was less than half that, or about half that. So that worked out pretty well. Anybody else?
WA2C.
Tom, go right ahead.
I don't know if you guys saw it. A couple of months ago, I brought it to a para meeting. I was running my GoKit. It's a jumper battery from Die Hard. For charging, it has a built-in lamp. Two lamps, very bright. It has a 400 watt AC. 23M TC gel cell. I'm running my base station off it right now. It's got two AACs. It's got two cigar lighter plugs. And it's very... And a lot of my needs.
Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. Alrighty. One of my recent additions that I have yet to actually fully implement, but I've tested it, someone gave me a 24-volt squirrel cage fan that's about the size of my fist. It's got an aperture that's about an inch by 2 inches, rectangular. And I'm going to run it. I tested it at 12 volts. And I'm going to use it, running it under voltage, which will mean quarter of the power, when I have extra power available to me, you know, not running on batteries, to provide either venting of the radio equipment or, more importantly, cooling of the operator should you be in a oppressive environment where environmental controls are a little lacking on the cooling side. Take a small squirrel cage fan, tiny one, and run it at a sub, derate it by 50%, it'll be fine. There's lots of these 24-volt squirrel cage fans around for industrial purposes. They're lightweight. They weigh nothing. It weighs maybe half a pound. Alrighty. Anybody else have some suggestions?
82XT.
Go ahead, John.
First of all, it's a great idea on the squirrel cage, and those small 12-volt pancakes can also be extracted from power supplies, and I use one of those down in my basement. Give me an extra breeze. Well, one thing that happened in March that I was thinking about was I have my mother at this home, and she's elderly, and an equivalent, like a home version of the kind of lights, the emergency lights you need in public places, schools, and whatnot. The power goes out, the DC lamps come on, with a possible, solar recharging while the power's down. Because we were out, we had no power for 5 days. And at night, it was very difficult to set up lighting so that my mother could, for instance, go to the bathroom at night. That was a major a major problem, and we solved it with candles, but it was a little dangerous back then.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Although we have a lot of candle sconces in my house, so my wife sells party lights, so there's plenty of candles on tables and counters and sconces and shelves, all appropriately spaced out for safety, but man, dear me. The pancake fans just scare the hell out of me because you can put your finger in it more readily, and that was why I was a little more tentative about that, but you're right, they do work, and it's not a bad idea, but you might consider looking for the 24-volt ones and run them at 12 because they'll consume much less power and still throw a lot of air around. It's just one thought. You certainly could run them at 12. Also, they'll run quieter. Any other suggestions from anybody?
Hey, Gordon. KB3DQP here. I'm going to have to skew from that. The wife is done shopping, and I'm going to be headed home. And she doesn't want to hear us chit-chat, so it was a good net. Made me think about some things that I got to finish up, so thank you very much. And I try not to be too much of a stranger on the air. I'll say 73 for tonight. Everybody have a great evening. KB3DQP Mobile.
Well, Harry, just a couple of quick notes. Tomorrow night's a Fairlawn meeting. If you're available, in the Fairlawn Radio Club at the Community Center. And the following week, I believe, Tony, do we have, just a verification check, we have our Barra meeting on the 5th of September, correct?
Roger on that. The Sunday before the Monday Labor Day, the 5th of September, is the Barra meeting at the Red Cross Building. And just another injection to the following weekend, the 11th and 12th of September, is the VHF contest.
Barra runs a VHF team and has a lot of fun with VHF contests on the 11th and 12th. Back to that.
Very good. Alrighty. All good to know. Anybody else with comments, suggestions, et cetera, for a go kit? Good night, Harry.
I have a comment. Forgive me for slandering your words, but if you did any reading on the freeze upstate New York had 10 or so years ago where we lost all the power because the power lines fell down because they all froze, you wouldn't believe the number of houses that burned down when heads knocked candles over. So, avoid candles like the plague.
No, I understand. We don't place them where the dog goes, but that's okay. We have them up on mantelpieces and sconces, high other high places, so it's okay. I understand the concern. I'm a bit of a safety Nazi when it comes to flame in my house. I get a little crazy, so I understand. All right, very good. Anybody else? KTBAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, W2TTT. All righty. Any other things you'd put in your go kit that we haven't covered, or something we've covered but you do it uniquely or differently, please call K2BAR. All righty. So here's the next challenge, and we're going to delay the conversation till another time. But if you had to run your station and there was no AC power, what would you do? How would you keep your house habitable, if you could, or how would you at least survive it in various times of the year? And how would you get on the air? And let's say you lost your antennas, what would you do? So we can throw a couple of challenges into your game. But one assumption is that your antennas survived and you just have no power. The other one is, oh, you lost your antennas too, what are you going to do? And the third challenge might be, it's cold or it's really hot. What are you going to do? Depending on the placement of your shack, it could be an issue. Like in my case, it could be life-threatening to try to operate in an un-air-conditioned shack on the third floor of my house in the summertime. On the other hand, it's the warmest room in the house, even in the wintertime, with no power applied. If I get anything powered up, it stores up a lot of electricity, stores up a lot of heat up here. So I might be better off operating up here in the winter. But we'll talk more about that another day. The other question for another day might be, if you had to operate packet on the road, HF on the road, meaning not home and not necessarily in your mobile, what would you do? What kind of antennas would you throw up? You know, it's the middle of November and you've been required to set up as a two-man field day station. Because your communications resources are needed, what would that involve for you? And both in a vehicle and outside of a vehicle. So, kind of curious. So we'll talk about these adventures another day. Any other check-ins, announcements, comments, questions for the net? Please call K2BAR.
I got to talk one more time. K2BAR, KB3PQP. Good. Just real quick, the club that I used to belong to up in PA, what the heck was it? EPERA, and it's spelled just like it sounds. Eastern Amateur Radio, something, I forgot what it is. EPERA is the name of it. If you go to their website, they have an excellent, excellent antenna that is an inverted V, 20 meters and 40 meters. The thing can be stored in a 5-foot-tall tube, and you can stand it up and have it operating in less than 20 minutes.
Well, let me see if I can find the website before you go. I appreciate your thoughtfulness and coming back with that, by the way. So let me see what gives EPARA, a valid website. I found it. It's on QSL.net, but if you just Google ePower, you'll find it. It's quick enough. So they have something about an antenna, live video from the Eagle's Nest. So that's along the Delaware, isn't it?
Yes. My friend Jerry up there was doing the link to that Eagle's Nest link. It's somebody set up a cam. It's kind of interesting. It's very interesting when it's active. I don't know if it's active right now, but you'll see there's a link on like the second page to an antenna, and I can't remember what it was called, but we actually built it. We built it out of three pieces of PVC, a piece of 3-inch, a piece of 2-inch, and a piece of 1.5-inch, with assorted reducer couplings, and they actually all fit inside each other. And at the top, you use 1.5-inch cap with a SO239 on the inside of the cap, and you run your you got to do is drill out a 1/4-inch brass screw and solder it to the SO239, so on and so forth. Anyway, you cut the two antenna, the two leads, and it basically it's an inverted Z, and you feed both lines at the same time, and it becomes resonant on 20 meters, it becomes resonant on 40 meters. Works really good, and you can cut it for either the CW portion or for the voice portion. We had it set up, and we were using it at one of our events up there, and made quite a few contacts on it. It worked really well. So hopefully you can find it. It's real neat, and again, like I said, something you can put together in 20 minutes. Put it up, stand it up, and voila, it runs.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's the end of the antenna, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Yeah, the thing that's puzzling me is that it's got a 38-foot piece. Well, dimensionally, it's different, to say the least, but okay. It's got 25-foot elements and 38-foot elements. But then, in another picture, oh, I see 45 is that. Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's got 38 feet on a dipole and one pair, and 90 degrees offset, a pair of 25 foot. So it's self-guying, it's a piece of PVC, and as a center conductor, I would make one change to the design, maybe, that is to actually put the coax down the center, and then have it come out as a T. I don't know if they do that. It's kind of hard to... No, they don't do that, amazingly enough. But I think I would do that. I would put a T in the middle of the mast so I could feed out the coax at a comfortable height, let's say 5 feet off the ground or something. But very nice, yes, very nice.
Okay, the one that I built, I drilled a 1-inch hole in the side of the 3-inch PVC on an angle. And I'm sure, you've done that. It's tricky, you got to start it straight and kind of twist the hole sort of sideways. But I did it, and it makes it real easy to get the coax connector out. You just slide the thing down the pipe, and it falls right through the hole and keeps falling out. That's how I did it. And we used a piece of, regular RG8 as the feed for it. The one that we were using, we actually used the transmatch on it. Nothing fancy, a little MFJ, what was it, 935 or something like that, the real cheesy one, the 100 watt, worked perfectly, worked great, that's all I got to say about it. And yeah, you use nylon to extend the other line so that they're the same size, a couple of tent stakes, and the bottom of the 3-inch, you use a 3-inch cap, and a piece of 3-inch threaded rod about maybe 8 inches long, and you drive that into the ground, and that keeps the bottom from, swaying around. Works real good. Excellent antenna. Perfect antenna for an emergency use.
Excellent. Yeah, I can think of a few variations on that theme, but I get the idea. Very nice. Very, very nice. Kudos. Thank you for the suggestion. Maybe we'll try that out for Jamboree on the air. Just something different.
any questions or suggestions. Alrighty. Well, we've had quite a lively net, despite ourselves. It's 10 after 10. It's more than adequate to call it a good net. I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. Look forward to seeing you at upcoming meetings. Salon meeting tomorrow night, and I don't know if there's one next week. I'm not quite sure. And then, of course, the Barra meeting next week on the 5th. And there's Kid Night on Tuesday night, I think. And certainly coffee on Fridays and Tuesdays at the Paramus Park around 8 o'clock in the morning. Up on the food court, miscellaneous other nets are Monday, 10 meters, 28375. Wednesday, probably 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, 14679 for the YL net on Mondays. On Wednesdays, we have the Barra chat net, 14679 at 9 o'clock. At 8:30 on 44100 on Thursdays, we have that net, followed by this net, the tech net, at 9 o'clock on Chestnut Ridge, 146955. Alrighty, folks, have a great night. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for your time and attention and your interest. And be prepared, I guess is the other motto that I pay attention to. Anyway, Godspeed all. This is K2BAR, WU2TTT, signing clear and standing by for any other stations wishing to talk after the net.